This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Free Talk Live. We're here at Porkfest 2020 and the very tail end of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. Of course, Porkfest continues on for an entire another week, so if you get a chance to come on up here and join a freedom-loving bunch of folks in the woods, beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire, you really ought to. Go to porkfest.party. You can learn more about the event there as we continue with hour number three now of our Sunday night show as we're recording this on Saturday afternoon on what is the final full day of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. It's Ian and Aria in our remote studio at the top of the hill, and Jeffrey Tucker, welcome back to Free Talk Live.
Oh, Chris, it's always a pleasure to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. And so you've been here, what, a couple days?
Yeah, I have. I came in, well, I guess on Thursday afternoon, and things are picking up a little bit more. It's an unusual year, actually.
In what way?
Well, it's just different.
COVID?
Well, the lockdowns, right? Everything's different, as we know. But, like, one thing is that there's a drought, so we were missing the fire that was always the central gathering spot for...
Has there not been a fire?
There's been a fire.
Has there been a fire?
Yeah, the last three nights.
Oh, really?
Well, probably two.
I'm going to bed too early. but it's also there's far fewer people. But
Do you think?
Yeah, I think so. No, I think we've... am I wrong?
I don't know. I've heard they've sold over 850 tickets.
That seems unimaginable to me.
And that more than or approximately 600 have come in. But this is what I've heard. I heard this from Vince Perfetto, who's the president of the Free State Project. He hasn't seen the final numbers yet, so we may be able to talk to Carla Garrett.
Well, who knows? You know, it's a miracle that the conference is happening
at all.
You know, right? I mean, and actually, it almost didn't happen. I was like... Even going through Lancaster, you know, we're right by this town called Lancaster,
yeah.
Right? And that's always been a pretty little happening place. You know, there's a little restaurants and things happening, a little ice cream store.
For a tiny little town,
it's kind of fun. But now you go through it, it's like windswept or something.
Well, there's a farmer market happening there today.
That was very encouraging.
Yeah.
But it's really like
they
we've got
the mask required signs up. So
there's that. But look, if you dress in a fancy way, nobody bothers you. I've learned this. Nobody told me to put on a mask.
Right.
But it's very strange. And I wonder how many parts of the country are like this. You know, I've been stuck on our estate, AIR's estate, for the last 5 months. So I haven't really been out and about.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really taken aback at the desolation. You know, maybe that's the wrong word, but the destruction or the sadness? Or
like the economic destruction?
Yeah, like half the businesses seem closed, even in Lancaster, but even driving here,
mm-hmm.
everywhere I stopped off, there was sadness and boarded up places and angry people. And I really am at the point of thinking about all of us, that there's a strange sense in which we're all survivors of the lockdown culture.
I've seen people with shirts that say they're COVID survivors. I haven't seen a lockdown survivor shirt, but I like that idea.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. But, look, we don't have to talk about this, but I think the core problem has not been the virus as such, but the response to the virus.
Absolutely.
The presumption on the part of government that they could somehow manage it, whatever that means. It was never clear what that was supposed to be, but they were going to take care of the virus for us. And look, it didn't work. It hasn't worked out for people.
Not to mention the hubris of it. I mean, to think that a government can control a force of nature a virus. Yeah. Okay, let's change the coefficient of gravity while we're at it.
Right about this. And I spent a lot of the morning, you probably do this too. We all do this. We look at the data and look at the data and look at the data. I was looking at the pattern of death from COVID, as C19 death, in Sweden, UK, United States, and Israel, and Italy. And they're all the same pattern. It doesn't matter if you were lockdown, open, not mask, yes, no, but it's this, that, the other thing. 10 people, 12 people, big gatherings, not gatherings, none of it matters. It's just the same damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a lot of death, and then median age, 80, around the world, if not 81. And then it just kind of goes down. And so people with very low life expectancies kick the bucket maybe a little sooner than otherwise might have because of the virus. And then that's it. And it goes away. And you see the same pattern everywhere in the world, lockdowns or not. It's like states have met their match, you know? And,
with COVID?
And as, yeah, and as I'm not, you know, I think I consider myself self a libertarian or like a extreme doubter of the benefits that government has in our world.
Sure.
And I think that this is maybe in our lifetimes the most prescient example of the irrelevance of government.
Not just not so much irrelevance, but the economic destruction.
Yeah.
I mean, just the ignorance and the
Well, they tried to take on a virus.
Violence.
And they failed.
What of the nation, I don't remember the name of it, that imposed no lockdown with the dictator?
Belarus.
What are their death numbers?
I haven't looked it up. I should look it up.
Yeah, they're not unusual. We actually had a guy, because I've been asking, we saw, like, there was, you know, some mainstream media stories about, Belarus doesn't have any lockdowns. He's crazy. He wants people to go out and drink vodka and go to hockey games, which is what he was actually saying.
It was hilarious.
Yeah. And there were some people in the country who voluntarily were locking themselves down and wanting to wear masks.
Sure, but people get afraid. That's one thing I've learned about. Like, I don't think... Have you ever experienced anything like a public panic towards a disease before?
Nothing like this.
I remember...
Terrorism. There was a lot of panic about terrorism.
That's right. 9/11. Yeah, that was panic.
And I imagine the panic arcs are very similar.
Very similar, yeah.
Well, the messaging is similar, too, because Trump came out at one point and he called COVID the invisible enemy. And when he said that, I really realized, like, this is very similar to what happened with 9/11, right? Because with 9/11, it's now, we're going to have a war on terror. Well, what's terror? Well, we'll know when we see it. So it wasn't like your typical war where there's guys in camouflage you know one side versus the other. It's, well, that brown person over there might be a terrorist. And so people start getting afraid of brown people, and they get super suspicious, and it created this culture of fear surrounding brown people, which, of course, is ridiculous and unfair. But that aside... terrorism was the invisible enemy back in 2001. And now it's COVID,
now,
but it's even more insidious because
it's
now it's
everyone.
Everyone. Everyone is a suspect.
Everybody is an enemy. You're right about that.
And you can see people behave in this way. You know, when you walk down the grocery store aisle and somebody's, you know, pressing themselves up against the other side of the aisle to try to avoid you.
Oh, it's so embarrassing. You know, and I try to maintain my composure, and I've mostly been disciplined, but the other day I was at the grocery store and somebody hopped out of the way when I was walking, and it rubbed me the wrong way. I said, "That's right. That's how you avoid getting sick. You have to hop a few steps over this way because God knows I'm full of disease, and for some mysterious reason I'm walking right towards you, preparing to infect you." And he looked at me, and he didn't say anything. And after that, I thought,
"Wait,
you know
what? Actually said that, was that what you were thinking?"
I said that to him because I was annoyed.
Sure.
and after that, I thought, you know what? I need to dial this back. This is not the time to lash out at my fellow human beings.
Well, didn't they have signs up in China saying something like, everyone you see is a ghost that could potentially kill you or something like that? I haven't seen such signs here in the U.S., but the mentality is certainly there.
Well, we're going to talk about this tonight in my lecture, but, you know, the big problem is a loss of wisdom and understanding of how viruses work, where they come from, and what we do with them. And that's really it. I recently read a great book called Microbiology for Dummies.
Okay.
And actually explained everything. Like, how do you get rid of a virus? How do you get a virus? How do you get rid of it? How do you protect yourself? Not a word in the book about locking down or avoiding people or masking yourself with social distancing. All this crap came about in 2006, and that's what I'm going to talk about tonight. It's very strange. You know, there are certain moments in history where humanity loses the knowledge that they once had. This happened apparently with scurvy, you know, this disease you get if you don't have vitamin C. So in like the 14th century, they figured out you needed lemons, and so they're caramon. A few centuries went by, when nobody had scurvy, and they forgot, like, how do you protect against it, and then people got scurvy again. And then scientists had to rediscover what scurvy was.
What they already knew.
And how to prevent against it. I almost feel like something very similar has happened with our knowledge of virology and viruses and immunology between, say, World War II and suddenly, boom, you know, 21st century comes and a whole generation is confused. And our attitudes towards coronavirus have been positively medieval, if not biblically stupid. You know, it's like we've just been so dumb about
it. Has been ridiculous. Do you want to stick with us and keep chatting?
Sure, sure.
Jeffrey Tucker is here with us from AIER.org. What's that stand for again?
American Institute for Economic Research. The four most boring words in the English language.
We'll continue here. Jeffrey Tucker with Ian and Aria at our remote studio at Rogers Campground. ForkFest 2020 continues.
Poor Sam was a mess. Always itching, licking. His paws were soaking wet. He had bald spots on his back.
DINOVITE.com.
2 weeks after he started Dynavite, I started seeing great improvements. And today, 99% of his issues are non-existent.
Dynavite is nutrition.
Dynavite is the best thing you can do for your dog.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dynavite from DINOVITE.com.
Bitcoin.com has launched a trading platform at local.bitcoin.com, allowing you to buy or sell Bitcoin Cash via dozens of payment methods like PayPal, Venmo, bank deposit, remittances, or meeting in person with cash. There are no ID requirements to sign up for and use the site, and all communications between buyers and sellers are encrypted. Finally, a global trading platform that respects your privacy. Visit local.bitcoin.com to get started trading Bitcoin Cash. local.bitcoin.com.
Got shaving irritation? Shave Secret Shaving Oil can help stop it. Shave Secret doesn't cost much and is an all-American product. My name is Chuck Howard, and I developed Shave Secret and pioneered its use starting back in 1991. Ingrown hairs drove me nuts for years. Shaving oil changed all that. Why put up with ingrown hairs, bumps, red rash, nicks, and cuts? Shave Secret provides men and women with what we believe is the best shave ever. Our proprietary blend of 100% natural base and essential oils plus a hint of menthol was designed to help eliminate shaving irritations like ingrown hairs, bumps, red rash, nicks, and cuts. We'll lose those shaving irritations. Available at Super Walmart, HEB, Wegmans, Giant Eagle, Discount Drug, Navy and Marine Exchanges, Amazon, and ShaveSecret.com. Use the code FTL for Free Talk Live and get a discount. Shave Secret, the best shave ever.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight. At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutralizes the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
7 million children suffer from asthma, more than any other chronic disease. Most asthma attacks are caused by allergic reactions to allergens, including those left behind by cockroaches and mice. In fact, 82% of U.S. households contain mouse allergens, and cockroaches are found in up to 98% of urban homes. How can you protect your family? Find out at PestWorld.org. A message from the National Pest Management Association and the American College of Allergy, Asthma, and Immunology.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Free Talk Live at ForkFest 2020, at the very tail end of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest.party is a website you can go to learn more about this event. It continues through the entire next week, so if you didn't make it up for the Porcupine Freedom Festival, come on up here for ForkFest. We don't know what it's going to look like, because there are no tickets that you can purchase for ForkFest. There are no organizers. There's just people coming and hanging out, so we'll see how it goes. Jeffrey Tucker is one of the speakers at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and Jeffrey, you're a regular here. How many years in a row?
I think about six.
Six years.
And this year is different. You know, I've had so many touching experiences with people here. A family drove from Michigan. Mm-hmm. Why did they come from Michigan? It was just a desperate reaching out for something normal and real and right. human contact. That's what people want more than anything else, is to talk to people and dare I say touch people.
Well, that's why this is so sick. And Aria and I have been talking about this whole COVID, so-called social distancing. I mean, social distancing is anything but social. It is anti-social. It is putting masks on is anti-human. You're disconnecting human beings from being able to experience the full range of emotions and expressions.
It's state propaganda, and as we know, it all originated with a 14-year-old girl performing a science experiment in 2006 for a science fair, in which she imagined how people could avoid contracting cooties by staying away from each other. And her father was a data scientist working for Sandia National Laboratories in 2006, and thought she had a really great insight, and so codified this theory of social distancing in a paper that came out in 2006.
Really?
And was presented to the Bush administration. The medical doctors at the time said this is pseudoscience, this is ridiculous, or this is the real world, it's not SimCity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, why are we letting this? By the way, her name is Sarah Glass. Her name is on the academic paper that was published.
Wow.
And it was attacked by every medical professional and virologist and epidemiologist at the time as being completely ridiculous. But the Bush administration liked it.
Well, of course they did. It's a new way to control people and their behavior.
Yeah. And that they were apocalyptics too, right? I mean, imagine 5 years after 9/11, Bush is like a crazy man, because he's done crazy things and seen insane things happen. You get a taste for that blood, you know. You get a taste for control, like you said.
Yeah.
And so he wanted something outrageous. So sure enough, these people presented this ridiculous paper with PowerPoint and everything else. Like, if we keep everybody apart when the next virus comes along, then it's never clear, right?
Right.
It's never clear. What then? But anyway, the Bush administration sided with the computer programmers over the medical doctors and wrote social distancing into the CDC's 2007 pandemic plans.
And so I didn't know it went back that far.
Yeah, it was 14 years ago this whole thing was hatched. And I get to talk more about that tonight, because I have a weird amount of knowledge about this, actually. Because I've talked to many people who were there.
When this happened, you mean?
Who were there at the time in 2006, mm-hmm. at the White House presenting, mm-hmm. you know. And all these freaks, they sat waiting for 14 years, because that was the height of their careers, to be invited to the White House and present this big model, you know, and have the president doting over you, which I think matters
gross.
To some people.
Yeah.
And so then they've had 14 years of lame. You know, 2009 came and they said, well, here's a cool virus. It's H1N1. It's just like the pandemic of 1918. But yeah, we had a new president and a financial crisis to deal with. So they mm-hmm. couldn't get anybody's attention. They wanted everybody to do the kabuki dance back then, but it didn't work. So
why this time? Why did it work now? After all these opportunities.
These are things worth talking about. I think it might have something to do with the political divisions in the country, you know. And the fact.
But it wasn't political at first. It became political as politicians. It's an election year. You knew it was going to become a political football, and now it has.
What's interesting about that is that in late February, if you wanted to see the people who were like apocalyptic about COVID, they're almost all on the right. they were, you know, they were like saying this is very bad, it's going to kill us all. There's a certain kind of mentality out there, kind of like disaster is coming. Mm-hmm. And on the left, by which I mean the center left, whatever, the WashPo, even the New York Times, the Psychology Today and Slate were all saying, look, you rubes out there are getting hysterical about this virus. This is not, this is a mild virus. It's probably going to kill people with low life expectancy and otherwise leave everybody alone. We should get herd immunity. That's what everybody, Slate, WashPo, New York Times, everybody's saying late February.
So they flipped.
They flipped. And it was a two-week period between, I would say, February 28th and about March 12th. And part of the reason was the Red Dawn email list. But again, I will talk about this later. But on February 28th, the New York Times, Daniel McNeil, the lead virus reporter for the New York Times, went on the podcast and predicted that COVID will kill 5.25 million Americans, or six of your friends. Now, wow. I pointed that out to Pete Earle, and Pete Earle said, geez, I only have six friends.
Yeah, well, you know, what I said before was if it were a real pandemic, in my opinion, I would know people who've died. You know, yeah.
people who had had it.
Or even had it. Yeah, I know one guy. I know one guy.
Did he test positive, or you just got in safe home? That's what all of us have
done. He tested positive. He's from New York City.
Oh, cool.
He's one of our advertisers.
That's true.
And he beat it.
Cool.
He's
well, of course, yeah. You're bad a couple of days. Fine.
Yeah.
I mean, who hasn't been sick of the last week? In fact, it's so funny. I've had so many people come to me, tell me and say, hey, I don't want to tell you this, but I was not feeling very well last week. I think I probably had COVID, but don't tell anybody. So everybody's, like, scared.
Right.
So the last thing you would do if you're sick right now is go to the doctor. Then what happens? Like, oh, the person's going to be going to the
put you on a list.
Yeah, you're going to be on the news and newspaper. They're going to contact trace all your friends.
Right.
Force them all to get tested. No, it's
scary. It sounds awful.
That's why people stopped using doctors. Mm-hmm. Doctors over the last 3 months, you know? It's been a crazy, intimidating environment. Like, the whole point of doctors and medical things is that when you get sick, you're supposed to be able to go to them. That didn't happen over the last 3 months. It's the last thing you would do.
Right. Well, normally it would be the last thing I would do anyway, because normally I don't want to go to a doctor unless things have gotten impossible to deal
with.
That's
a good attitude.
Yeah.
And one of the New York Times ran an article about 4 or 5 days ago. Pete, I don't know if I put this up on our website or not, but they said, you know, the strangest thing is that hardly anybody's been to the doctor in 3 months, and nobody's really sick. In fact, people are less sick than they've ever been. So maybe that's a good, like, we're all looking for good things, good takeaways from the last several. Maybe that's one thing. We realize we're over-reliant on doctors and medical establishments, that sort of thing. So that's probably good. It's probably good. It's like I'm breaching.
Well, it stands to reason. If you go to the doctor for a checkup and there are people there with the flu or pneumonia or whatever, you have a higher chance of catching.
Sure.
Yeah, that's
I mean,
true.
You're going to where sick people congregate. So,
yeah.
Not going there.
That's usually
like
a mistake.
Idea.
It's usually a mistake.
Jeffrey, what's your topic about tonight? You're speaking?
Well, I'm talking about the origins of the lockdown idea, and I'm talking about this 2006 thing, because I know a weird amount about it, because I got obsessed with the topic, and I talked to a lot of people who were there.
Mm-hmm.
But, and I actually have a lot of documents that I've yet to release, only because I don't want to have to live in the embassy of Ecuador in London, you know, for the rest of my life. Because I don't know what's you know, what's whatever secret and what's not secret. But I do have a lot of documents.
Tell it all.
I can tell, but I can't show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Jeffrey Tucker, always appreciate having you on
Free
Talk Live. Head over to his website, AIER.org, and I'm sure we'll see you again soon.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here.
Thank you, sir.
More on the way. We're here on the Sunday night edition of Free Talk Live at Forkfest 2020.
The next generation wallet is coming from Divi. In just a few taps, you'll be able to send, earn, spend, and exchange digital money in seconds. Send money around the globe with only a swipe. Instantly exchange between Divi, Bitcoin, and fiat right in the mobile app and withdraw directly to your bank account. Divi already offers the first one-tap solution for earning passive income with crypto. Multi-tiered masternodes allow everyone to partake in the network. Visit DiviProject.org. DiviProject.org.
The monetary evolution comes to Las Vegas. Crypto Vegas is a one-day event featuring some of the brightest and most innovative minds in blockchain technology. Juan Galt, Anastasia Sergeyevna, Lynn Ulbricht, Jim Bell, Elise Sam, Float CEO Kingsley Edwards, and more. Tickets start at $20.20, and you can save 10% on VIP tickets using code FTL at CryptoVegasConference.com. July 18th, join Free Talk Live at CryptoVegasConference.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
More tragic coronavirus numbers. 500,000 deaths worldwide, according to Johns Hopkins University. About one-fourth of those, more than 125,000, have been reported in just the United States. Florida is seeing a spike. Governor Ron DeSantis says young people who go out are a big factor.
If you're in one of those younger groups, you know, make sure that you're behaving in ways that aren't going to put someone who's more vulnerable at risk.
KNX reporter Emily Valdez says California's governor is reimposing restrictions because the state is seeing a surge in cases.
LA is one of seven California counties where bars are being ordered to shut down. Bars are being recommended to close in eight counties, including San Bernardino, Riverside, and Ventura. Bars have been identified by the Public Health Department as the highest risk sector of non-essential businesses currently open.
This is USA Radio News. Amid a wave of calls for statues to come down and names to be changed because of racist connotations, California Democrats are now calling for the renaming of a well-known airport because the famous actor it was named after is considered to be a racist. USA's Chris Barnes reports.
They want to change the name of John Wayne Airport in Orange County, saying that the late actor was a racist and a homophobe.
I wouldn't make it a habit calling me that, son.
The move comes after a controversial interview with Playboy magazine by the legendary actor in 1971 resurfaced and made the rounds on social media. In it, Wayne does appear to voice opinions about homosexuality, African Americans, and Native Americans that are considered racist and homophobic. Local Democrats are pressing the County Board of Supervisors to change the name of the airport back to its original name, which was Orange County Airport. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The Hebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at ShopSuperTea.com or call 818-984-6100. That's ShopSuperTea.com, 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-453. That's 855-453.
Free Talk Live. We're at ForkFest 2020. I want to say thank you to Robert Womack III and Leah H. They are silver amplifiers of Free Talk Live Amp Program. Amp stands for Advertise, Market, and Promote. And it means it's a way for you to help support what we do here, which is talking about the ideas of freedom 7 nights a week on the radio. So the AMP program makes that possible. It helps us get on new stations and gives you some cool perks as well. Go to amp.freetalklive.com, ampamp.freetalklive.com. You can get signed up there like Robert and Leah have done, and you can help us, again, spread the ideas of freedom as far and as wide as we possibly can. In the studio with you here, it is Ian and Aria, and also joining us now, Mark Edge.
Here I am.
Is finally here after an entire week. You finally made it up here. What's your excuse?
He's only here for like a day or two.
Yeah, what's your excuse, mister?
I don't really have an excuse. I mean, like, this was kind of my intention in the first place, is I wanted to see what Porkfest was like.
Uh-huh.
So
you decided you'd come for one day
for
to see what it was like?
Well, this is the day. This is the Saturday.
It is
of
a
Pork
day.
Fest, and that
is one of
traditionally
several.
The big day of Pork Fest. So
it
I want
is
to see.
A big day.
And I'm surprised by how many people are here.
Now, were you here last year at all?
Yes.
at the Porcupine Freedom Festival?
Yeah, I was. I left just as it was starting, and it was like, you know, there was a lot of people left over from Pork Fest. They were going
to,
you know, say.
So you didn't get to really feel what the Pork Fest last year was like.
No, but you were here, and I figured you'd take good care of things. You know, Pork Fest and I.
Oh, wait, you spoke at Pork Fest last year.
Did I?
Yeah,
I guess
were,
I came back.
That's why I came, because you were speaking. On the stage, and you got an extra ticket.
How many of these have we been to, I guess, is really the question. I mean, you know, we've been to Rogers Campground
every
single year
since 2009. Yeah.
So, you know, it's it tends to blur together for me. Terribly sorry if I can't remember all of what occurred. But, you know, as far as Pork Fest goes, I hope that Pork Fest does great, and I hope Fork Fest does great, and all that stuff. I'm just kind of, I don't know. We'll see how it goes.
It has been great. We've been here all week. We started broadcasting on Tuesday. You and Captain Kickass held the fort down on Monday night there in Keene, which actually helped out a lot because it meant that, like, it ended up we had some serious technical difficulties getting things set up, and we would have been in a serious rush if it hadn't been for you guys Monday. So that was very helpful.
Awesome.
We've been a day ahead the whole time, so that's why we're recording Sunday night right now. And
but I arrived on Saturday during the, I guess, early afternoon.
Yeah. And like you said, you're here for the last day, but you missed a really great party last night at the Dome. Of course, the AnyPay Dome is here, and it was bumping last night. Arya and I were there. And
I had intended originally to make it for that, but a dinner party sort of was planned in my absence that I needed to attend, and a couple of days ago my back went out.
Oh no!
So I really couldn't.
All right, well, that's a good excuse.
Travel around. You'll notice me making noises when I move now. Anyway,
like,
so
that kind of noise.
Those kind of things. Yeah, those are the noises you make in your old age. Yeah. It's just the way it is. So
last night. All the more reason I don't want to live past 50, Mark.
Well, I'm 49, and I got to tell you that, you know, 50 doesn't look like a good time to die to me.
Last night was awesome. The boys did an amazing job. The Dome last year was great. Last year was the first year for the Dome, but they really, you know, they learned a few lessons on how to put it together. They put it together much faster this time around and did a little differently and set it up a little differently. They got a professional light guy named James who was in there who's, like, on the team now, basically.
James, the light guy.
Yeah, I don't know what his last name is, but he's awesome. He's got, like, one of those light mixing boards. So, like, we've got a mixer for audio.
Wow.
They have light mixing boards as well, and he's got, like, some killer lights set up in there. So they definitely took it to the next level this year.
Yeah, there were four disco balls this year, one of which had rings around it, like Saturn.
they made a custom 3D printed rings, attached them to the disco ball. And
this is what you missed, Mark.
Yeah,
it's probably still hanging in there if he wants to go and check it out a little bit later.
I have been here and still not gone to the dance party because I go to bed late, early, and the dance party's late. So
it started at officially it started at 7, but it really didn't start until sundown, I don't think, until the sun went down. But it was even better attended than last year. There were a lot of people in there. I would say the place was full for a good portion of it.
Wow.
Lots of, like, they had, like, inflatable couches around the room, very large inflatable couches that, since they're inflatable, they're pretty easy to move. So the beginning portion of the night, the couches were sort of faced toward the outside of the tent, so not faced toward the inside. So the people sitting on the couches had a little bit of privacy. They could just kind of hang out. There was, of course, plenty of people dancing, and Derek J., Steven, and just a good crowd of folks. Good night. The weather here has been great. So, I mean, you've missed a good Pork Fest, Mark. That's all I got to say. It's been great.
So, like, they were, like, the couch was facing outward, and then everybody would dance on the inside.
Yeah, and then later in the evening, Derek J. rotated the couches to face the inside, or at least two of them to face inside, so the people on the couches could then watch what was going on. So it was a really
people
nice...
People began to get tired, or what was the reason for that?
I don't know, just to change things up.
It was trying to bring the People's Party of Judea together with the Judean People's Party.
I don't get that. A joke?
It is. It's from the life of Brian and...
You know, Monty Python.
Yeah, one of those... you know, one of the critiques of those who've been inside the Liberty Movement is that we tend to fractionalize.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, the only thing we heard hate worse than the Roman government is the People's Party of Judea here, the Judeans People Party. You know, that kind of thing. So, you know, libertarians, the greatest enemies of libertarians is kind of my joke.
That's an obscure joke.
Yeah, well, I'm doing my best.
Yeah, man, that was out there.
Okay. Doing my best. Not everyone's going to fly.
The other thing, caffeine, I think they got some monsters.
I do not need caffeine.
The other thing they did differently this time and was also an improvement, and they were raving about it at the end. They were so happy with how successful it was. Because I stayed till the end. They were shutting things down. And they were so pleased. Everybody who went to the party last night paid with Bitcoin to get in. And when I say Bitcoin, I mean, like, they mean the other things. Bitcoin Cash and Bitcoin SV. That's what most people paid for.
Yeah, you had to take Bitcoin?
I don't know about that. That's
if you're looking
question.
For a $3 transaction cost, sure.
Yeah, it doesn't take probably $1 today. It's probably $1 right now, but it's still a lot. And but what they did last year was they did an invitation-only thing, and that didn't work out as well. It kind of made things feel more exclusive, and that was what they wanted, right? They wanted an
exclusivity, but not quite that exclusive.
Yeah, they wanted an exclusive event, but this one...
The bouncer at the door feel is what they wanted.
And they had that. they had that. And this year, they didn't have a bouncer at the door, per se. Actually, it was Derek J. who would go out there and sell the tickets. But they wanted to open it up to anybody that was willing to do, you know, jump through the hoops. They want people to have and use cryptocurrency.
Okay.
And so they created a destination that people wanted to go to. And they said, if you want to get in this club, you got to pay the cover in crypto.
Nice.
Nowhere else you're going to get in. So people would try to come in, and they'd say, how much is it? And so $2. And they'd start getting out crypto. They said, no, worth of Bitcoin. And some people just walked away.
What they reported is that it's amazing how many of the people here don't actually know how to use crypto in a transaction.
But every one of these people did, and if they didn't know how, they learned how. So there was definitely a learning experience for some of the people who went in there, and that's
a good thing.
Point.
That's
that
the
was,
point.
Yeah, that was the point, to give people, because if there's something that you, if there's something people want, bad enough, they'll figure out how to get it.
Sure.
And that's why, you know, the Silk Road became such a success, the very first underground marketplace. That's why the Silk Road helped Bitcoin really take off in the earliest days, in 2011.
Right.
Nothing like that had ever been done before. And
the reason was because people wanted to buy drugs that are generally illegal in most places, and they wanted to get those drugs with a significantly more likely that they would get them, and more likely that they would not be beaten within an inch of their life while they got them.
Yes.
And so, you know, you can say whatever you want to say about the idea of people using drugs, but what you can't say is that people aren't going to do it.
Right.
And because people are going to do it.
Sure.
And the question is, do you want those people to be able to get those drugs and to get them without getting harmed? Because, you know, the drug war is bad and it causes lots of consequences. And those consequences are an overreaching police force. Where do you suppose that might happen? And organized crime.
Yeah. It's a good conversation. We can continue it maybe on a different show. We got Tone Vase on the way here to wrap things up on our Sunday night. He's a Bitcoin maximalist, and he's here on a Bitcoin panel. More coming up here. This is Free Talk Live. We're at ForkFest 2020.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Amazon customer, 5 out of 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Dr. Sam Surreal. Good product and ingredients. Kept my blood pressure normal after mild heart attack in 2015. Switched to plant-based diet also to reverse atherosclerosis. John Bispico's, 5 out of 5 stars. Built up my immune system.
To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
It's Free Talk Live, and we're here at ForkFest 2020. And you can go to ForkFest.party to learn more about it. ForkFest, by the way, brought to you by Intercoin. It says the Internet is a global network that connects local networks. Intercoin is a global currency platform that enables communities around the world to issue and manage their own currency to circulate among their local population. Intercoin enables fintech innovation on the local community level, leading to stronger communities, greater sustainability, less poverty, and more productivity. Intercoin is attempting to regain some of our freedoms that are threatened on the Internet and in meat space. We think that's important here on Free Talk Live. So important, we accepted $40,000 worth of Intercoin tokens from Intercoin Incorporated for advertising. If you think freedom is important, too, check out intercoin.org at intercoin.org. You can invest in this project and potentially make big gains or just be involved and perhaps shape its future. Intercoin.org. And now, Aria has transformed into Mark Edge.
There I am.
Yes. There you are. Finally,
I've reached my final form.
After a week, you have arrived for the very final day of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. It's glad to finally have you out here, Mark. Also joining me, I'm Ian. We've got Tone Vase on our third microphone. Hey, Tone.
Hey, guys. Good seeing you again.
Yeah, I think the last time we saw you was last year at this very event.
Yeah, I believe it's my number three now.
Only your third?
Yeah, I've been invited many times prior. And
I feel like you've been here like five times at least.
Yeah, it's probably should have started coming earlier, but better late than ever.
Well, usually they have some sort of Bitcoin panel at the Porcupine Freedom Festival, and apparently you were already on it. That already happened?
I was, yeah. Mm-hmm. We did our Bitcoin panel. It was good. Covered a lot of different topics from trading to economics to just how Bitcoin is helping in this fight for freedom.
Is it sort of was it kind of like a basics panel? Did you get a lot of questions from newbies at the end?
Yeah, there were some. We didn't get into the technicals of Bitcoin.
Right,
more
you'll lose people
philosophical,
with that.
Yeah. More philosophical and what it's good for, why it's important. And the biggest topic on that front is being responsible for your own keys.
Tell me what that means, because we know, but our listeners think. Imagine you're on 100 radio stations right now. People have just now heard you talk about keys and Bitcoin. What's that mean?
So for me, what got me into Bitcoin is Bitcoin's property of being unconfiscatable, and I really love that word that didn't even exist prior to me getting that domain, unconfiscatable.com, because for the first time in human history, you can own something of value that you can protect in your head, but only if you actually have possession of it. And with Bitcoin, you have the opportunity to be your own bank, which means you are responsible for that value. But most people don't want that responsibility, or they don't know that that opportunity is there for them to be fully responsible for their Bitcoin. And when someone else ends up being responsible for your Bitcoin, holding it for you, that's no different than having your money at the bank.
That's right.
Sure, it's more sound money, and you are getting the Bitcoin property of the soundness of Bitcoin's money, but you certainly lose Bitcoin's other two critical properties, one being the unconfiscatability feature, and the other one being this censorship-resistant value transfer, because the more regulated entities are holding on to your Bitcoin, the more the government is able to track where all of this money, how they're being used, how it's being spent, and the more people take control of their Bitcoin and hold full possession of it, all those three properties are at their disposal: unconfiscatability, censorship resistance, and sound money.
Yeah, it's such an important idea. If you don't have your keys to your Bitcoin, then it's not your Bitcoin.
That's right, and that's true with money in the bank, too. If you don't have your money in your hand, it's not your money.
Yep.
The bank will likely give it back to you.
Likely. And it took 5 months for Bank of America to give the money back to me that they stole.
You can go to court, and you can petition a judge, and the bank will likely, you know, side with the judge, you know, will do what the judge asks, or whatever the case may be. But ultimately, you know, ownership's about control. And if you don't control your money, then it isn't yours.
And here's the worst part. Like, this always happens when you really need it. When you really, really need it, and that's when you're not going to be able to get it. That's how we get bank runs, because there's not enough cash on hand. And the other issue is, we're in the U.S., you're supposed to be innocent until proven guilty, and you're supposed to be able to afford a lawyer. So what is the first thing the government does when they try to when they accuse you of a crime?
They lock your bank accounts.
They lock your bank accounts, and they freeze your money and don't give you an opportunity to pay for that lawyer.
That's right.
Which is atrocious.
It's absolutely true. I mean, with cryptocurrency, at the very least, you can try to find a lawyer that will take cryptocurrency. And
there are a couple of them.
Probably these days, that wouldn't be as hard as you might think it is. Or you can sell your cryptocurrency for dollars and then use the dollars to go to the lawyer. So, yeah, absolutely true.
You can sell cryptocurrency for dollars, but even that is a challenge with websites like localbitcoins.com cracking down and mandating know your customer requirements, ridiculous ID hoop jumping in order to just maintain an account there. After 4 years of selling bitcoins on localbitcoins.com, they closed my account with no notice whatsoever, no explanation. I still have no idea what that was about. I mean, I had 100% positive feedback on my profile. Like, I had thousands of trades over 4 years, and they didn't even bother to give me an explanation. Yeah. So, you know, if you have to, in order to change Bitcoin into cash, you have to have some way of doing that. And if you don't know somebody personally who's willing to give you cash in hand, then you have to go online, and that means hoop jumping in a lot of these cases.
Yeah, but while that is true, that is still, you know, a good problem to have, right? Mm-hmm. It's a solvable problem versus I don't have any access to my money.
Well, yeah, it is solvable. You're right. You have to jump through some hoops. And luckily, there have been some competitors open up. There's a new website called AgoraDesk.com, which is competing with local bitcoins, and they do not require ID in order to create an account on the site. Also, local.bitcoin.com for Bitcoin Cash purchases does the same thing. So we're seeing some alternatives pop up that are, you know, trying to promote their product and service to people that care about privacy, because there are a large number of people that actually do care about privacy. Now, Tone, some people have called you a Bitcoin maximalist. Is that how you would describe yourself?
Sure. I mean, that's the label that other people put on people like myself. Vitalik Buterin kind of started it.
That's the guy who founded Ethereum.
Yes. Mm-hmm. One of the Ethereum
that's
founders.
The number two crypto on the planet.
Correct.
Today?
Yeah. Okay. Been that way for a while.
All right.
It's a pretty solid number two. There's a ways to go before Tether catches up.
Do you like a good solid number two?
Yeah. Right, I wouldn't really consider Tether a crypto.
True.
It's just a representation of the U.S. dollar in digital form.
But it's regardless cryptographically protected, right? I mean,
it is a crypto in that it's a crypto token that represents a dollar supposedly held in a bank somewhere by the company that has created, in this case, Tether.
A backed crypto token.
It is a crypto token backed by the dollar. That is correct.
Okay.
And it has become the number three largest market cap on the planet right
now. Which just means that they have enough, they've been in the business long enough that they've collected enough money that they can back enough of these things.
Supposedly. Yeah. The big question with Tether is whether or not they actually have enough backing for the...
Well, I can tell you this as far as banks go. Just before this whole COVID thing happened, the Federal Reserve removed the necessity that a bank have $1 to every $9 they loan.
Yep,
so
that's right. They got rid of that.
At this point, the likelihood that Tether is not as solvent as they say is really inconsequential compared to banks being as solvent as they say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, and I agree with all that. But the position of someone like myself when it comes to crypto is I believe that Bitcoin was a huge innovation, both financial and technological. And one of the, if we're going to talk about the three properties of Bitcoin that are sacred to me, unconfiscatability, censorship-resistant value transfer, and sound money, all those other coins that exist, they don't have any of those properties to me, like none.
Okay.
I don't consider any of the Bitcoin's competitors, they like to call themselves Bitcoin competitors, but I don't see them being decentralized. I see all of those other projects, and Ethereum included, to be controlled by a small group of people that have the ability to make changes. And one of the people like to make fun of Bitcoin that it's slow, you can't make changes to it. Well, that's the point. If it was easy to make changes to Bitcoin, it wouldn't have decentralization. It would be under the control of very few people. So the censorship-resistant value transfer and unconfiscatability, to me, are nowhere near the same in all of these alternatives, just because they're not as sound and they're controlled by a few people. As far as the soundness of money goes, that's one of the reasons why people here used to love gold and silver before Bitcoin came along.
They still do.
They still do. And a lot of people are switching over towards Bitcoin because Bitcoin is sound money. But if everyone is creating their own money, how is that sound? So to me, all these old coins is just inflation on top of Bitcoin. Like, if you believe in the long-term future of Litecoin or Monero or other coins, but they're not as good as Bitcoin because of the decentralization, shouldn't you instead be trying to push inflation on top of Bitcoin to devalue Bitcoin? Because, and that's why I don't think they're going to last. Sound money eventually wins.
Tone Vase, appreciate having you on. As always, folks can go to your website, tonevase.com. That's V-A-Y-S, tonevase.com. We got more coming up here tomorrow from forkfest.party.
Remember when you first heard about Bitcoin? How long did it take you to realize this little project would soon change the world? Do you kind of wish you had gotten involved sooner? Well, now is your chance to be a part of the next revolution in money. Intercoin is working to finally make crypto go mainstream. It's designed to be scalable enough to support everyday payments and even elections without the state. Bitcoin was originally supposed to be a peer-to-peer cash system, the way we would all pay one another without having to trust any third party. But instead, over time, it mostly became a store of value. That's because every 10 minutes, the Bitcoin network must put all transactions into a block, and that block can only hold so much. If crypto is to become mainstream for people to use it for everyday payments, we need a new architecture, one that is as secure as Bitcoin while being far more scalable. Check out intercoin.org to find out more and maybe pick up some of those coins for yourself.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Introducing Reveal from GCNLife.com. Beverly Hills dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman invented Reveal, which contains polypeptides with natural botanicals and no parabens, sulfates, silicones, or dyes for a salon-quality hair growth product, Reveal. Here's Dr. Newman.
I've treated a lot of patients who lose their hair and they lose their confidence. We've created a unique set of polypeptides, which we call HPT6. The HPT6 contains the polypeptides from six different plants. The scalp infusion treatment should be used on wet or dry scalp. The Reveal hair care system is designed to be used for men and women alike.
Get Reveal at GCNLife.com with a 30-day money-back guarantee. So try Reveal today at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637. Plus a discount up to 25% off for Reveal at GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.